Hello, I'm John.
And I'm Roxy, the Cocker Spaniel.
We're walking the Southwest Coast Path.
Today, we're walking the stretch from Linton to Combe Martin.
So, let's set the scene for you. This is not a stroll in the park. The official guidebooks actually classify this specific section as strenuous.
Which is a very polite British way of saying not quite brutal.
It really is. The stats on paper are intimidating. We logged 23.3 kilometres. That's 14.5 miles. But the distance isn't the real story. We tackled a total ascent of 807 metres, or 2,646 feet of climbing.
To put that into perspective for the humans listening, that climbing is almost as much as climbing a Munro in Scotland, or walking all the way up the stairs of the Burj Khalifa in Dubai. Except you're not climbing nice solid stairs.
No, you're climbing steep stony tracks, loose scree and sun-baked mud. Okay, what about the walk? It really felt like we went on two completely different walks today. It was a walk of two very distinct halves.
The sensory buffet completely flipped halfway through.
Exactly. The first part of the day was all about sheltered ancient woodlands and deep combes. We started by leaving Linton on a gradual climb into the Valley of Rocks. It's this dramatic dry valley carved out by periglacial activity during the last ice age. It's full of rugged rock formations with names like Mother Meldrum's Cave and Devil's Cheese Ring. It was famously a popular haunt for romantic poets like Wordsworth and Coleridge.
I wasn't looking for poetry, John. I was looking at the feral goats. They scale those sheer cliff edges with absolute ease. My prey drive was highly stimulated, but my common sense told me not to follow them off a cliff.
Very wise. From there we contoured high above the sea around Ringcliff and Lee Bay. The terrain was undulating and eventually led us down through dense ancient woodlands round the secluded Woody Bay. It was actually planned as a Victorian resort that never quite materialised.
I liked the shade in those woods. The scent profile was pure damp earth and badger. We even crossed a great waterfall at Hollowbrook Combe before heading into the oak woods.
The views back towards the Foreland Point Lighthouse were incredible. But soon we turned inland and descended into Heddon Mouth Cleeve. It's a deep gorge carved by the River Heddon, running from the upland moor into a hidden cove. Historically, its secluded cove and winding approaches made it a well-known haunt for smugglers.
I didn't smell any smugglers, but I did smell pub food. We made a tactical detour just before the bridge to the Hunter's Inn for a drink.
We did, and we were so relaxed there. While we were waiting to be served, I noticed a young woman with three small dachshunds. She was busy ordering a taxi.
I gave them a customary sniff from afar. We saw them leave while we were having our drinks.
Little did we know how important they would be later.
But once we left the Hunter's Inn and crossed the river, the second half of the walk began.
Oh, don't remind me. The climb out of the Heddon Valley was absolutely brutal. It was steep, stony, and we had to pass right over loose scree rising past Peter Rock. And to make matters worse, it had turned into an incredibly hot day.
I remember. As soon as we reached the top of Trentis Hoedown, Exmoor's wooded valleys vanished. Completely. They gave way to open panoramic moorland. I had completely had enough. I darted straight into the shade of some gorse bushes just to survive.
I didn't blame you one bit, girl. We were crossing that exposed moor with absolutely no shelter from the sun. Between the sheer difficulty of the walk and the intense heat, we very nearly gave up. I honestly wondered if we should just call it a day and return to a nearby car park and ring a taxi.
I was tempted. The sense of isolation was huge. The great hangman just loomed in the distance, mocking us. It felt like we were the only ones mad enough to be out there walking on such a gruelling day.
Well, we weren't completely alone, were we? The climb up to Holdstone Down is around 350 metres and it offered 360-degree views inland to Exmoor and seaward toward Wales and Lundy Island. But it also offered a view of a completely naked walker.
Oh, yes. The strange human.
He was returning from a local nudist beach below the cliffs. Michael Portillo even mentioned that beach on his Coast Path television programme. Luckily, he covered himself up as he got closer to us.
I was just focused on thermal regulation, and after that, when we were feeling really low, we finally saw some normal clothed humans.
Yes, just as we were questioning our sanity, we spotted a group of hikers in the distance climbing up the side of the valley towards the Great Hangman. Seeing them really spurred us on.
But to get to them, we had to drop all the way down into Sherikham Valley. You cursed at the massive drop, but my doggy senses knew better. Where there is a valley, there is often a stream. I spent several glorious minutes enforcing my personal splashing laws, running up and down and eventually just lying right in the water. I had to cool the undercarriage.
You definitely needed it for the long steep climb up to Great Hangman. At 318 metres or 1,043 feet, it is the highest point on the whole Southwest Coast Path.
You handled that massive climb slower than I did. But at the summit by the cairn, we finally met those hikers. They turned out to be a group of German walkers.
The views from the top were astonishing even with a bit of mist. The name Hangman might just come from a Celtic word for slope, but there's a much darker local folklore involving a hanged sheep thief.
Speaking of treacherous, the descent towards Little Hangman was a disaster.
It should have been easy, but the area had been badly flooded and then trampled by escaped cows. They had churned the mud into a chaotic mess that the sun baked into a badly rutted obstacle course. It was ideal for testing our ankles and balance.
My four-wheel drive handled it fine. But from Little Hangman, we finally dropped rapidly down into the village of Coombe Martin, nestled along a deep coastal coombe.
Coombe Martin was once famous for silver mining in the 13th century. Today it's just a friendly seaside village with a long, narrow high street. Nothing beats sitting down for a drink and fish and chips at the Folksoul Inn overlooking the beach.
And that's where the real panic set in. I could smell your stress from under the pub table.
Yes, that's when I realised my wallet was missing. I was convinced I had dropped it back in Linton when we stepped out of Andy's taxi that morning. But when I checked the tracking tag using my phone, it bizarrely showed the wallet was right there in Coombe Martin.
It was a mystery fit for a bloodhound.
It all came full circle, though. Andy, the taxi driver, called and said he'd found it on the floor of his taxi. The incredible part was that he found it when he moved the seat while giving a lift to a woman with three small dachshunds from the Hunter's Inn.
Oh, the ones we saw while we were resting in the Hedden Valley.
Exactly, which means unbelievably my lost wallet had been sitting in Andy's taxi just 20 metres away from me the entire time we were relaxing with a drink at the Hunter's Inn.
Typical human. You can navigate Periglay-Shul Valleys, survive the highest point of the coast path, and hike 14.5 miles, but you can't keep track of your own treats.
Anyway, let's finish this off. We walked 23.5 kilometres and did just over 800 metres of ascent. Moving time was just under 6 hours, but elapsed time was nearer 8 hours.
I got some splashing time, but not nearly enough. Now let me sleep.
Fair enough, Roxy. You've earned it today.